Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Hey, Roger.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. So for those who don't know, and many of you do because I've been... Yeah, Roger, you might not know this. 2017 is my 20th year, I believe, on WGN Radio.
Wow, we were talking about that earlier. Who's been here the longest? We knew that Orion was here before the station. Right?
He was here before the building, perhaps.
Before the building.
Yes.
And then Steve Bertrand.
Absolutely.
And then Nick DiGilio and Judy Pilak.
Of Manfredini.
How long has Lou been here?
Longer than myself.
Well,
not much.
Judy and Nick have been here about 30 years.
Yeah, Manfredini, my guess, is 25.
Okay, wow.
26.
Okay, all right.
And I'm 20.
Okay, I'm just a youngster at 10.
But what other radio station in America could you say that about?
Oh, yeah, none.
I know.
Seriously, none.
I know.
None. Even the signature stations on the West and East Coast, the WGN-type stations...
Yeah. Well, okay. So what you just said illustrates everything. WGN type stations.
Yeah.
I mean, when you are defined, mm-hmm. by, it's like Cher or something. I mean, you're defined. Maybe
right.
That's not the best example, but I mean, you're defined by your name.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like as an actor when they say, "I want a so and so type." You know.
Exactly.
And everyone else wants a WGN type.
Yeah.
But there is no other.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, Roger, happy holidays to you. And now and again, as you know, mm-hmm. the radio station will call me, maybe because they couldn't get anyone else, and say, "Hey, Steve, we'd love to have you fill in." And I am honored to do it. So we'll be chit-chatting throughout the night, Roger, and we're going to hear some holiday music. And when the time comes next hour for that, you're welcome to come down and chime in.
Sounds good.
Programming, the bosses here did warn me that if I chime in, it's considered to be inhumane. So I probably won't be singing along. But you're welcome to
howl
do so.
Along.
I like that. I like that. And that's the second hour of the show, as well as we're going to talk to someone quite seriously about the meaning of Christmas and what it should be. This hour of the show, though, it's all about fun. When you think of, or when I think of Christmas, and I'm not talking about the religious part of it, there are certain things that have become iconic, a part of our culture in America. And I think one of those is It's a Wonderful Life. There are three, I count, stage productions. Steve Smith is here, the associate artistic director of the Oil Lamp Theater in Glenview. There are other productions, live productions of the show. There are movie theaters, the Music Box Theater in Chicago, but this is all over the country. Hundreds of examples of this all over the country performing It's a Wonderful Life. Yet, we can get it on our televisions, but we still can't get enough of it. Steve, welcome to WGN, first
Thank
of all.
You.
I want all of you to talk close to these microphones that you're all in front of. And I say all of you because you have brought with you, you are not alone.
No.
I will let you introduce your best friends.
All right. With me tonight are actors from our production of It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. We have Rachel Livingston. Joe Page.
Merry Christmas.
And oh, hold on. Let's do this one more time. So, Rachel, say hello.
I live a high everyone.
Is
Happy
that how
holidays.
Is that how Mary sounded? I don't remember
no,
that.
No, I play every other character except Mary when I do it. So I have a lot of voices going on
I
in my head.
See. And that's the thing. I mean, this is, and we'll talk more about the production,
mm-hmm.
but this is a stand-up production. It's like a radio show would have been done.
It's done in the style of a radio show with live sound effects on stage and most of the actors portraying several parts. And
that's how it's done all over the country, and that's how you guys have been doing it now 5 years?
This is the fifth year, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue around the room. Go ahead.
Okay. Again, Rachel Livingston is here.
Hey,
I thought she was Mary.
She's
tonight she is Mary. Okay.
Now I've played every female character in the show.
Versatile, if nothing else. Ben?
Joe Page is here. He portrays Mr. Potter and Freddie Fillmore, the announcer.
Should I back up a little bit?
Possibly. When you hear his mean Mr. Potter voice, you will.
Freddie Fillmore. Wasn't Ralph Nelson the character actor, the guy who played that?
I don't know.
I think so.
Lionel Barrymore played him in the film.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Played Mr. Potter, yes.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Freddie Fillmore. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Freddie Fillmore, I believe, is a name that the playwright Joe Landry made up as the announcer so he could adapt it to a radio play.
Right, and I think the one who did that originally was an old radio announcer named Ralph Nelson, who was on the Jack Benny Show. He's the guy who, when people would go up to Miss... He'd always appear somewhere and say... and Benny would say something, and he'd turn around and say, yes?
Well, you
that's
got
the
trivia.
Guy.
We don't know that.
Well, I know. All right, so I apologize. But the most important person on the planet is here.
Blake Holen is here. He will be portraying George Bailey tonight, and he plays multiple characters in the play.
Yep, I am also one of the people who voice every other character on stage except George. So. Yeah.
He sounds nice, though. He could be George Bailey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to hear a couple of scenes. I suggest we hear one right now to kind of get the feel for what this is all about. Does someone want to set up the scene? I mean, everyone has seen It's a Wonderful Life at some point. I don't think there's a living person in this country over the age of, what, 8 or 9, who has not seen It's a Wonderful Life. So if you give us a broad generalization to set this up, I think people will know.
Sure. The first thing he wanted to do for you is, after George realizes that that Uncle Billy has definitely lost the $8,000 and there's no finding it, he goes to Potter and requests his help.
Okay.
Ready?
All right. I am ready when you're ready.
So that's it, George. You're short $8,000 in the books,
eh? Oh, please, Mr. Potter. I'll pay any sort of interest. If you still want the building and loan.
You say it was lost. Did you notify the police?
No, sir. I haven't done that yet. Harry's homecoming tomorrow.
Well, why did you come to me? What about your good friend, Sam Wainwright?
I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
Ah. Well, what kind of security would I have, George? What collateral?
I have some life insurance, a $15,000 policy.
Ah. And what's your equity in it?
$500.
And you want $8,000. Look at you. You used to be so cocky. You were going to go out and conquer the world. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. Well, what are you but a warped, frustrated young man? Crawling in here on your hands and knees, begging for help. No securities, no stocks, no bonds. Why, you're worth more dead than you are alive. Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so much and ask them
to help? I'll do anything, Mr. Potter. Please, please help me. My wife and kids.
You know what I'm going to do for you? As a stockholder in the building and loan, I'm calling the state examiner to get a warrant for your arrest.
No, Mr. Potter, please.
Misappropriation.
Please, Mr. Potter, you can't. They can't arrest me.
Malfeasance. Oh, go on and run, George. You can't hide in a little town like this. Merry Christmas, George.
Yeah.
All right. There it is.
I'm kind of shaking a little bit.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Right. He sounds mean.
Now, bear in mind, Mr. Potter has...
Closer.
Mr. Potter has the $8,000. So he's being especially mean, yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's going to be any surprise endings here. But I do want to talk more about the Lamplight Theater. I want to talk more about It's a Wonderful Life as well. All right here. Steve Dale for Rick Kogan. 720 WGN. We are kind of chuckling in studio because, in fact, we have a slight little problem. Rachel Livingston, the actress, is here. She was dropped off by her boyfriend. I can mention, because we can maybe save a life here. I believe he's been searching for parking since this morning. There are directions to. There are Christmas miracles. Free parking. But you couldn't find the lot. And he's still circling. And the circle's
probably
getting wider and wider. And he's now, last you heard, he was in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Are you sure he's looking for parking?
I just hope he's winning us some big money.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I feel badly about that. I hope he has by now found the parking. So this is the Oil Lamp Theater in Glenview. Where is the theater at?
The theater is located at 1723 Glenview Road, downtown Glenview. And I'll give you all the information.
Yeah, I want it all.
The phone number is 847-834-0738. We do have a few tickets left for It's a Wonderful Life coming up this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evening. So you can order tickets. We hope to see you.
And how, again, can people order?
People can order. The easiest way is through our website, which is oillamptheater.org.
Oillamptheater.org. It's in Glenview. And I did not know this about the theater. It's a BYOB theater, of which, with all the theaters, there, I think, 150? I'm making that number up. But there may be that many community theaters in Chicago, right? Great town for community theaters. You may be the only one that is BYOB. And I'm saying that with a smile on my face for many reasons. And there's no fee, a corkage fee or anything.
There's no fee. No, it's a professional theater.
And you said free popcorn or something?
Cookies.
Who makes the cookies?
Well, caterer has to do that now. They have health laws and that type of thing.
Okay, all right. Just so Mr. Potter doesn't make the cookies, because I would not trust those cookies at all.
Snickerdoodles.
That's why.
You see, it sounds nasty when he says it. So here's the question that I want each of you to chime in on. It's a Wonderful Life, as I mentioned earlier, is first of all, let's go back a little bit, do some history here. I believe when the movie first came out, it was a moderate hit. It wasn't Jimmy Stewart's biggest movie at all. It did all right, you know.
It didn't even quite do all right.
Didn't
do much at all.
Right. So, and then something happened way later when TV rights became available, and it began to be shown on TV. It, not necessarily on purpose at Christmas time, but then it became a Christmas movie. It originally wasn't about, it's not about Christmas per se. You know, it's not like the movie White Christmas, about Christmas. But it became a Christmas movie, and it became a cult classic, and it became much bigger than that. Much bigger. You know, the little girl who plays Zuzu is, I think, the only one still alive.
She is. She still tours every Christmas.
Yeah. And she talks about how people could not even comprehend that this movie caught on like it did. So what I want to ask you is, what is it about not only the movie but the story? Because there are stage plays all over the country of all sorts of different kinds, you know, including the biggest one, the most popular, is the one you do, the stand-up radio one. But hundreds of them all over America. This is your fifth year. You wouldn't be doing it over and over if you didn't fill the house.
That's right.
You guys are very good at what you do, but it's the content of what you're doing as well. What is it about the show?
Well, I think it still has quite a bit of relevance for what's going on. We're still coming out of a mortgage crisis and a recession, and we still have haves and have-nots, and that's what the story is about. We don't want to turn into Potterville.
No, we don't.
At the end of the day, it's
also a classic story of redemption. I think the other thing is it's not overly saccharine. There are some pretty dark moments that make it quite compelling.
So speaking of dark moments, Joe, what do you think? Well, Joe is Mr. Potter. So I ask you, because you have a maybe different perspective, playing Mr. Potter.
Well, I like to tell people that my job in this play is to make George Bailey's life miserable. And I think Mr. Potter does
the entire town's life miserable,
well,
I think, at times.
Yes, Mr. Potter is a very avaricious man. He just wants everything. But he does not win in the end. It's interesting. He's not defeated. He's not brought to justice. Mm-hmm. He simply goes away. Yeah. He disappears from the back part of the play, and all the warmth and goodness takes over. And I think that's the thing about this play and this film, is people come out of it feeling very good. about themselves and about being human. And I think that's one of the things that Keith has always said is he wants people to come out of the theater feeling better than they did when they went in. Mm-hmm. And so this play very much fits that goal that our executive director has for the theater.
And that's Keith that you're referring to.
His name is Keith Girth, right?
Mm-hmm. Blake, George Bailey?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, George is just a really, just a very relatable character. And I think, you know, he's striving to do the best he can. I mean,
Jimmy Stewart made so many movies, you know, and mm-hmm. he was a beloved actor at the end of his life for his appearances on the Johnny Carson show, you know, and just mm-hmm. the way he spoke and his persona. Mm. But yet, will be remembered more than anything else, I would suggest, with, I would guess, over 100 movies made.
Yeah.
And dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of TV appearances for this one role.
And it's fascinating to note that this was his first film that he made after returning from service in World War II as a bomber pilot. He flew B-24s. And he had been away from movie making for several years. He was genuinely concerned when he made this film, do I still have it? Can I still do this? Mm-hmm. Will I still be popular? So I think we can all agree that he proved, indeed, that he does still have it.
Yeah, but he kind of didn't prove it at the time, as you spoke about. I mean, the public wasn't, I don't know that it got poor reviews, but it wasn't a particularly popular movie. So, George Bailey?
It was labeled Capricorn. It was made by Frank Capra.
Right, right.
And people thought it was corny, so they called it Capricorn.
Really? Yeah. I'd not heard that. Okay. So, but I interrupted you.
Yeah, well, the thing that strikes me about George is just the choices that he's had to make. He was a very idealistic guy growing up, and he had to say goodbye to a lot of dreams and, you know, going off, you know, seeing the world. And instead he stayed right there in the small town he grew up in. And I think through the course of the play, he realizes that he made the right choice, and that what he is doing is very, very important. And that, yeah, I think it's just a great reminder that you don't have to be this amazing, like, famous individual to really have significance and to have power to your story.
Very well put. And that has not changed. It is 28 minutes after 9 on WGN 720. Hey, Roger. These guys are pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Absolutely. And I, as you may know, I have a certain affinity to that, being an live radio, old-time radio performer myself.
Come on. You're not.
I'm with the After SAG senior radio players.
Really?
We perform several times a year. Yeah,
well,
I haven't been with them for a while, but
all right, so that I can see.
Okay.
But the suggestion that you go back to the days of live radio.
I do.
No, come on.
Well, I'm 64.
Well, no. First of all, no.
All right, no, I'm not 64.
Thank you.
I'm 30. Whatever.
No, but also, wouldn't you have to be more like 84?
Not necessarily. There was still live radio in the early to mid 50s, even late 50s. There were some live radio shows, not necessarily these types of shows, but I think there were. There were still some shows that were like this that were performed live.
Did you ever perform? Were you ever in any of these?
No. I was a mere toddler.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
My line have been? Wah, wah, wah? I don't know. I mean.
Well, these guys are wonderful, and it's so fascinating to me that It's a Wonderful Life is being performed not only on stage but on the big screen. You see it all over now. I mean, why do you think it is that, I mean, this is what we were talking about, that this show has held up so well?
I think that the message of the movie, while possibly lost on the original audiences in the theaters when it first came out, I think that the message rings true with so many people after the millions of times that it's been shown on TV and seen in homes on DVDs and VHSs over the decades. That's my personal feeling because I feel that it's a very heartwarming story. It's one of my I Will Cry at the End movies.
Yeah.
So, Bruce Dumont. I think that's what I think about it.
Bruce Dumont from the Museum of Broadcasting just informed me that all of those who are listening to the show will officially earn their angel wings.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Ding, 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 ding. There you go. I actually meant to bring, I forgot.
A bell?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I think, doesn't Roe Khan one have it?
You know what? It's on the instant. There might be one on instant replay, but I don't know where it is on that machine down there.
Yeah.
I have no, I don't know what number.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
Oh, wait. Doesn't Lou have a bell?
I don't know. He has a whole. You have to plug it in, and you need union workers.
Because whenever he says like a company name, he rings a bell or something.
I know. I don't know where his stuff is. Okay. So, hey, we'll talk to you in about 23 minutes. Thank you very much. That's Roger Badish, WGN News. Of course, he will break in anytime he feels the need to do so. Hopefully, on Christmas night, there will be no need to do so. Merry Christmas to all of you, and we do have Steve Smith, Associate Artistic Director of the Oil Lamp Theater in Glenview, here in the studio with lots of actors who are recreating It's a Wonderful Life for us. So I want to go around the room, and I want to know just a little bit about you. So I'll start with Joe Page, Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter, indeed.
Yes. So tell me just a little bit about yourself.
Me? Well, I'm fortunate enough to have done this show four times at the Oil Lamp. First time I was actually George Bailey. And since then I've been Freddie Fillmore / Mr. Potter.
You were too nice?
well, acting, thank you. But I've been acting professionally for 5 years. And I'm also a freelance writer and a professor of English part-time at Oakton Community College. So that's how I keep myself busy.
Rachel?
Hey, I'm actually from Northwest Indiana. My mom's in Hammond and my father's in Chesterton. We grew up watching and listening to WGN all the time.
Cool.
Shout
outs to mom and dad.
I have been living in the city for 2 years now, trying to make it as a professional actor.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that time, I did some acting in Indiana, and now I'm finally making it work over here.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The best thing you can say, I think it's the best compliment you can give an actor is, oh, you're working. Because
yes.
Really,
yeah, true, absolutely,
very true.
Yeah, and same in my business, really. How about you, Blake?
Yeah, I'm originally from South Central Nebraska, and I moved here last winter, actually last January. So I've been here for about a year, and I've just enjoyed getting to know the city. I've enjoyed the theater scene. I also I studied theater in college, and it was kind of my dream to...
Where did you go to college?
Just a small school called Hastings College.
Uh-huh.
It was a small theater department, and it was always my desire to come out to the big city and perform. So.
And here you are.
And I'm working, so... Yeah.
So, anything surprise you about acting or the world of acting in Chicago? Easier, harder to get in, about what you expected?
People are friendlier than I assumed.
It's not competitive?
Oh,
it's competitive. But everyone is willing to help you out,
which
you don't necessarily think of when you think of competitive attitudes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, and I think the big difference, say, between professional and college is in college, if you don't go to an audition, someone will notice and they'll be like, hey, why weren't you at that audition? But here it's like no one knows except you, and so you really have to be motivated to go out there and you know, whether you did a good job or not, that's not yours to say. You get seen, and if you get work, awesome. And people in Chicago have been really friendly and really eager to help out. So
it's a very vibrant community. It's a very large community, but it still feels like family because we go to an audition and you almost always run into somebody you know, somebody you've done a show with, somebody you've met somewhere along the line. So it It does feel like six degrees of Kevin Bacon everywhere you go.
Well, is there a part that you would just love?
Oh my goodness!
To have. We just went to see Hamilton, by the way.
Ooh. Yeah,
lucky you!
Lucky
yeah.
You.
What was that?
You scored tickets. Huh?
What did I say? Yeah, I got tickets. Yeah, yeah. So, by the way, would you guys do like some version of? Because you, I want to talk about some of the shows you have coming up,
mm-hmm.
and then the Hamilton question will come up again about one of those shows, because one of those shows, you'll see what I mean.
Okay.
You will see what I mean. But, yeah, is there a juicy role that you think, oh, gosh, I would love to play this? This was meant, written for me, only the author didn't know me.
Any role that pays cash.
Spoken as a true actor. Yeah. Well, yeah. You have to pay for that gasoline that your boyfriend is burning up as he drives around.
Right.
Oh, my poor boyfriend.
Yes. I think for me it's like, you know, all the roles that I thought I wanted to play in college and school and all, it's like maybe I wouldn't be right for them. And yeah. So I'm just eager to, you know, whatever is given to me, I'm eager to just take a bite of it and see what I can do with it. Yeah.
Well, I think any serious actor would agree with you. Mm. But still, there are those dream roles. For me, I'm of an age where a number of classical roles have gone into the rearview mirror, but I would love to play Lear, and I'd love to play James Tyrone in Long Day's Journey. Mm. So.
I'd love to do any Chekhov, and one day I'd like a shot at Hedda Gabler. Yeah. One day. But I also do a lot of musical theater, so any song and dance. You don't get a whole lot of that in Chekhov.
No, there isn't. Yeah. All right, so it's 17 minutes before 10 o'clock now. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we have a substantial scene, safe to say, mm-hmm. from It's a Wonderful Life, because that's what you're here for, is to perform. We want you to work, so we will hear you work. Next on WGN. It is A Wonderful Life on WGN Radio. I will let you set up the next scene there, Steve Smith, from the Oil Lamp Theater in Glenview. I didn't do that with much drama, so let me do that again. I will let you set up the next scene here, Steve Smith, from the Oil Lamp Theater in Glenview.
Better? All right, thank you.
I didn't make the audition, by the way. I can tell. He's totally unimpressed. Go ahead.
This is that wonderful scene when George is walking Mary home from the high school dance. And in this scene, we have Blake Holen portraying George Bailey. Rachel Livingston will be performing as Mary Hatch at this part of the story. And then Joe Page comes in as Old Man Collins a little bit later in the scene. You'll hear him, too.
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight and dance by the light of the moon?
Hot dog, oh boy, just like an organ. Gee whiz.
Beautiful.
You know something? If it wasn't me talking, I'd say you're the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say it?
I don't know. Maybe I will. How old are you anyway?
18.
18?
Too young or too old?
Oh, no. Just right. Your age fits you. Hey, look where we are.
Oh, the old Granville house.
Yeah. I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, don't. I love that old house.
Well, no, don't you know about deserted houses? You make a wish, and then you throw a rock.
But, George, it's a lovely old place. I wish I lived there.
In there? I wouldn't live there if I was a ghost. Now watch. Watch this. How about it, huh? Pretty good shot, huh? Broke a window, huh?
What's your wish, George?
Well, not just one wish. A whole hatful, Mary. I'm shaking the dust off of this crummy little town, and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. Then I'm coming back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. And then I'm going to... Hey, what are you going to throw a rock too? Hey, that's pretty good. What'd you wish for, Mary?
Oh, no.
If I tell you, it might not come true.
Hey, hey, Mary, come on. What do you want, huh? Do you want the moon? All you gotta do, just say the word now.
Okay. The moon. And then what?
Then what? I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down, see? Then you could swallow it, and it'd all dissolve. And the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and toes and the ends of your hair and the... Am I talking too much?
Yes! Why don't you kiss her instead of talking to the dead?
Who's that?
It's Old Man Collins on his front porch.
Youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Hey! Hey! Hold on! Hey, mister, come back out here and I'll show you some kissing that'll put hair back on your head.
Excellent. Woo! Very good. I'm going back to the... I was Facebook Living that.
Technology.
So let's do that again. A round of applause. Excellent. That was great. Thank you, thank you. So you...
Yes, sir.
Are a very nasty old man. Watching these people, I mean, they're just loving each other, and I mean,
yes, yes,
yeah. And
he's
look
frustrated. He just wants them to get on with it.
Well, I will tell you, and that song even. I mean, were any of you? By the way, you guys are. I mean, did you have any idea of what that song? That it even existed, or you did just from seeing the movie yourself?
I first came into contact with it through the movie.
Yeah.
Over and over again after years.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard it when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
But I don't remember exactly where it was. But yeah, I'd heard of it before.
Do you know? By the way, do you?
I knew of it. I don't know anything about where it came from.
So, Mr. Potter, I have a question for you.
Sir.
Do you feel mean? Do you feel... Here's why I ask. You are one of the meanest, nastiest, most villainous people ever. We were talking about this before the show.
Pretty iconic.
Well, yeah. We were talking about the fact that the American Film Institute has a list of the 100 greatest heroes in film and the 100 greatest villains.
And you're
Mr.
Potter right up there.
Comes in at number 6 on this list. And he's preceded only by... Number 1 is Hannibal Lecter.
Okay.
Number 2 is Norman Bates. Number 3 is Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Oh.
Number 4 is the Wicked Witch of the West. And number 5 is Nurse Ratched from Cuckoo's Nest.
And you're next.
That's good company.
That's a list.
That's a great list.
It's awful company, which is good company. Yes, yes.
If you're a villain.
So the Oil Lamp Theater, which is up in Glenview, which again is where in Glenview?
It's at 1723 Glenview Road.
Okay. And the next production after... So this one goes through when?
This one will go through Friday. There will be performances Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evening of this week, and there are some tickets available.
Is it general seating? How does that work?
It is general seating. It's a small theater. It holds 60, so every seat's a good seat.
Mm-hmm. And how much are the tickets?
Tickets are $35.
That's it?
That's it. Mm.
And as we spoke of earlier... But I'm really impressed with you. Could be a BYOB.
Bring your own drinks. We will cork her open for you, provide glasses. And, again, there are always complimentary cookies, M&Ms.
Nuts.
And actually, for the Christmas show, we have hot chocolate.
Ooh.
Oh, and
wow.
And
that's excellent. So what's the next show after this one?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about how we choose our shows. Keith Girth, again, is the executive and artistic director. I'm the associate artistic director. There are three things we want for every show that happens at Oil Lamp. The first is we want the audience to be entertained. And that doesn't mean it has to be a rip-roaring comedy, but we want them to get some entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
We also want them to ask a few questions, to have to, you know, kind of... You know, scratch their head and say, I have to think about that and wonder about that. And Joe also already mentioned the third thing we want to get out of every production, and that is that we want people to leave feeling a little bit better about themselves and better about the world. After It's a Wonderful Life, opening January 12th, is a play called The Dining Room that is About a dining room. A.R. Gurney is the playwright.
Nothing like a plot that's very, very confusing. Actually, that it is a great show.
Yes, it's about several generations of families and that come and go through the dining room for holidays, but or for everyday occasions. It's really a very lovely story. Following that, we will be producing The People's Republic of Edward Snowden.
Now, hold it. I need an explanation there. Now, I saw that on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know a little about geography, not a lot. I've not heard of that nation.
Okay, that's because it's actually a small part of the Moscow airport. The play takes place in the Moscow airport.
And this is the same Snowden that took all of
this. This is the same Snowden.
Yeah, okay.
Who's popping up in the news again.
Yes.
There
was just a movie about him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and it's a press conference where the press corps is asking Edward Snowden questions, and the audience will get to participate in asking questions that come to their minds, either by raising their hands, emailing us, Twittering us. They'll be an active part of the show.
So the audience can participate in the show with live tweets?
Yep.
And or raising their hands as though they are...
Yeah, you can just be old-fashioned and raise your hand if
like
that's
a reporter
what you want to do.
Would at a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are attending this, you are a reporter. You've gone to journalism school by attending your
show.
There
you go.
But what kind of questions? I mean, I'm still missing a bit of something here. Mm-hmm. He just shows up at the airport? There must be more to it than that.
It is a planned press conference. Being run by a Russian agent, and someone from the NSA happens to pop in as well to monitor it.
Now we're learning a little more.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but the guy who plays Snowden has to be. I mean, this is some improv going on because I assume he has no idea what he's going to be asked.
He probably doesn't. He's probably thinking about it now. What might they be asking me?
Have you cast the role already? Okay.
That show's cast. And then following that, when we get into the spring, or for Mother's Day and around that time, a play called Motherhood Out Loud. That's about all the stages of being a mother. A tender, lovely portrayal of everything from, the excitement of being pregnant to sending your child off to college.
Take a mom to?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. All right.
Or
so
go as a book club or a...
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Book clubs actually look for these kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
So the Oil Lamp Theater in Glenview, the website once again is?
The website is oillamptheater.org.
All right. I want to thank you, first of all. Steve Smith, he is Associate Artistic Director.
Yes.
But also we have Blake Holden, Rachel Livingston, and I hope you do find your boyfriend. He's still looking for parking, last I heard.
Yeah. We're sending out a search party.
And Joe Page, I thank you very much as
thank
well.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a wonderful visit.
Well, I thank you all very much for giving up a part of your Christmas night, to do this. That is appreciated very, very much. Clearly, you love what you do, and you're very good at what you do as well. So I thank all three of you and you as well. Thank you very much.
We're happy to have the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate it. And the theater, by the way, was great to work with. Great to work with to set this up. The Oil Lamp Theater in Glenview, I am incredibly impressed. You guys are terrific. Thank you so very much. Now, Roger, I apologize for this.
No, that's right.
I was listening, but I couldn't believe what I was hearing. So tomorrow, what did you say? I'm talking weather.
Oh, yeah. Get your shorts out. Get your shorts and your golf shirt and your sandals.
You said 50-something?
Low to mid-50s by about 9 in the morning.
And the wind is going to be at
about 40 miles an hour.
400 miles an hour.
400, yeah.
Blowing in all that hot air.
Anchor your pets. Put weights on their feet.
Yeah.
So they don't blow away when you take them out.
Only in Chicago. Roger Badish, thank you very much.
Sir.
This is Steve Dale in for Rick Hogan, 720 WGN Radio. And, boy, you are in for a treat. In the studio is Arturo Andonagy. Did I say that right? I hope I did. I'm getting better and better, he says. He does not need to get better and better as a performer. I am honored to have him. He's going to sing some songs of the season as well as Emily Montelongo. But before we get to those two performers, sitting to my right is a chaplain from the Chicago Police Department, Robert Montelongo. First of all, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Steve.
Well, it is a pleasure and honor to have you here in the studio with us. I think I'm in safe hands because I saw all these police cars go by, and I'm continuing to see police cars go by. You and I met in a most unusual way.
Yes, we met at the Puppy Mill Project March, promoting their cause here on Michigan Avenue. We marched straight up north and then back. It was a great event.
Yeah, so here you are marching, and you're with the Chicago Police Department, but marching for a very good reason.
Yes, yes, it is. I'm one of these people that just 2 years ago I wasn't a dog owner or any kind of pet owner, and I am so blessed to have been part of that project, of that march when I came.
Yeah, well, lots to ask you about, and I want to talk a bit about, well, today, Christmas. Christmas has become somewhat commercialized. That's yeah. Kind of an understatement. And I think that's true around the world, not only in America. Do you think we've lost sight of what Christmas is supposed to be about? And I'm not necessarily talking about the religious meaning of Christmas. I'm talking about the spiritual meaning of Christmas.
You know, I think I'm one of the people who would say no. I think a lot of people still have it. They might not realize it, but I think they do have that spirit of giving, that spirit of sharing joy with family. I think today, if you ask anybody, they'll say it's being with family. It's being together. And who doesn't come together with family on this day and just enjoy the presence of each one another, giving, loving, sharing gifts? And, well, it's one of the reasons, one of the meanings of Christmas is giving, self-sacrifice, giving to others instead of yourself.
You know, there are so many. So if you watch the evening news over the course of the past week, there's been a story on every night, you know, a Christmas-type story, you know, of someone who's done exactly what you said, has given a bit of themselves, literally a donor organ who's given of themselves quite right. Literally, right? Or whatever the story is. I argue that these good stories happen every day.
They sure do.
And they happen more times than the news can possibly even cover.
They sure do, because most people, when they have that giving spirit, they don't want anything in return. And they don't want to make any promotion of themselves. They just want to be able to give that gift and, I guess, bask in the joy of giving and don't want the accolades. So that's why we don't hear about it.
Are people good?
Yes, people are good.
Do you think that's true all over the world, that people are essentially the same? And do you think it does it matter what religion they are or not?
I think people are good. We were created. And in that creation, we were given that heart, that conscience, that love. It's a love beyond we can never comprehend. And I think everyone has that. It's just, you know, it gets lost. We stray from it. But I think everyone has it.
So what do you think has happened? And Chicago's been used as an example, and I've talked to you a bit off the air about this, and I've talked on the air about this, too. Some time ago, I got sick and tired of the late-night Jimmys, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, people like Donald Trump, poking fun at the city of Chicago. Because, yeah, I know the stuff that happens here that we talk about, and it makes the news, and it probably should. However, good things happen here every day. And whether they be a young woman who has the poise to sing on the radio, whether it be a young man who gets all A's in school, whether it be a new art exhibit that opens in your neighborhood from some talented kid who can do things with a paintbrush that you never would think possible, whether it be an athlete who's doing amazing things physically, no matter what it is, big things, little things, but are big things to you and your family. Big things happen every day. Good things happen every day in this city. So I said, let's promote that and say, hashtag Chicago Proud. And the aldermen loved it. In fact, all 50 have signed on James Kappelman, it has to start somewhere. James Kappelman, an alderman, made the proclamation. He's in the 46th Ward. But I believe 49 others, all of them now, have signed on to this and said, but what's interesting to me is the ones who jumped on it were the ones whose ward get the most negative attention. Because they know good things happen all the time. Do you think some of that has gotten lost? Some of the good that happens in Chicago, whether it be about the ice rink about to open, or maybe it just did open, I don't know, at Millennial Park, or anything that goes on that is great. And there are so many great things.
I have to agree, because I don't hear anything good about Chicago. Whenever I watch the news, it's always the negative. And, you know, sadly, as some people say, sometimes you have to own it. But in owning that, we can also own that within us. Just with this program you just talked about, it's a way of owning that, hey, there's more to Chicago. There's a spirit of giving that's alive and well. There's great deeds that happen every day that's alive and well. And
you're putting it better than I ever did. Yes, well, you're right.
And owning that, you know, well, we can only hope that that would change the attitudes, the negative attitudes that are out there, not only that we hear from others, but I guess the best way to say it that I could think of is by the people who are making that negative attention part of Chicago, and maybe it can bring about a change.
You know, I'm on Michigan Avenue a lot because of, well, where we are now. I mean, we're on Michigan Avenue, and I work here. So, and when I'm not doing... pardon me?
You have a great view. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I do have a great view, yes. Rokan is an expression for this view. He calls it, I forget what it is, but it is the greatest view on Earth, or something to that effect that he says. He's totally correct about that. And walking down Michigan Avenue, you see all these police officers. You know what I've noticed? People are randomly going up to some of these police officers, and I've done it too now, and just said thank you.
Yeah,
you know?
That happens very frequently now, and usually happens whenever, like September 11th, we had a lot of people just coming up to officers thanking us.
But I'm talking about...
It's the greatest feeling in the world to me, Ed, that it's a great feeling to do your best and to have the acknowledgement from strangers that acknowledge you and are...
So it's not a hokey. It's not a hokey thing to do that?
No, not at all. And it doesn't only happen during the holidays. It happens year-round, believe it or not.
Yes. Tell everyone who you are, because people cannot see you.
Right.
My name is Arturo Andenegui, and I'm...
What's your official title with the police?
I'm a patrol officer, and it's an honor to serve, and it's an honor to put on uniform, and I'm thoroughly happy with the work that I do and the people who I work with, and the kind of calls that I handle, and the people that I serve, which is everybody. We are one family.
But you are more than that. You are also an amazing singer.
I'm still learning.
Well, you do mighty well, my friend. You know, you've been on television, and you've been in news clips. Sadly, sometimes singing at police funerals, but also at city events, you know.
Municipal events,
yeah.
Events, and it's an honor to keep ready, to be on call if the need arises for some kind of music. It's a great way to share something that's a vital part of my existence.
And this will be your first time out on WGN Radio, right?
Yes, and hopefully more to come, as Johnny Carson sure would say.
Yeah, that was a couple of talk shows ago. And
I think I'm dating myself now.
That's okay. That's okay. I remember Johnny Carson. And Emily, you're in the studio as well. Now, Emily happens to be your daughter. But similarly, very well known by the Chicago police and others because you have performed at city events. And you're how old?
I'm 14.
Have you always wanted to sing?
Yeah, I've always wanted to sing. When I was smaller, I was like, I found what I wanted to do and... That's what I've just been doing, so, yeah.
What is it about singing that you like so much?
I don't know. I just, like, once you get out there and then it's mostly, like, the feeling of singing. And then once you're done, when everyone tells you, oh, that made my day or that, like, warmed my heart or brought me to tears, it just makes you feel good.
Okay. Well, you both have some holiday tunes prepared for us. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, I will be talking to the chaplain some more about some of the conversation that we've had, and we will continue. By the way, any question, you want to be a part of it, you can. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number, 312-981-7200. at 720 WGN. 1019 on WGN Radio. Steve Dale in for Rick Hogan. I am not alone. It is, I think, Christmas night. And in celebration of that, we have some very talented performers here. So we're going to hear a Christmas song.
Christmas time is here, happiness and cheer, fun for all that children call their favorite time of year. Snowflakes in the air, carols everywhere, olden time. Sleigh bells in the air, beauty everywhere, Yuletide by a fireside, and joyful memories there. Christmas time is here, families draw. Spirit through the years.
Mark Bruno, ladies and gentlemen.
People outside are applauding, too. You know, Chaplin, I asked you all those serious questions. He just answered them. Yeah, really, he just answered them with the lyrics of that song and with your singing of that song. I want to talk to you about the emotion. I mean, you actually sang. So some people sing these Christmas songs, and ladies and gentlemen, on Michigan Avenue, we have more, actually. And you have a fan club out there.
I think I'm my biggest fan.
You are your biggest fan? Is that what you said? The people that know you here are saying, yeah, that might be true. But you sang, this wasn't a one-off. I mean, these Christmas songs that we've all heard so many times, you hear them on the radio, and we can all sing along to them, right?
Yes.
You sang and felt each and every word in that lyric.
Yes, absolutely. It reminds me of biblical scripture, that each year the meaning of the text has different meanings because we grow with each passing year. Mm-hmm. And through this past year, the last 2 years, I've grown immensely as a person, professionally with my duties at work, but also as a person. And that's why perhaps the meaning I feel and it projects not only through the airwaves but through the passers-by that are witnessing the performance.
Yeah. I'm going to ask Emily in just a minute to go to the microphone and sing something as well. But before I do that, Arturo, some other questions for you.
Yes.
So you're a police officer. At what point did you say, hey, bosses, I can do something else. I sing. And then they said, you what? How did that come about?
As with most things that happen in life, it was purely accidental without any indication of a need for it. There was a charity performance called Battle of the Badges about 15 years ago. And at the last minute, the person was not able to attend the function, which was police officers versus firefighters in a boxing exhibition for charity.
Right, I've heard of that.
And so the person was not able to attend. And one of the promoters was frantic to try to get someone. So because where I work, it happened to be the first number on the list of his call out. So he called, and the secretary at the time to the commander knew that I had performed for some of the district functions. And so she said, yes, we have someone who can fill the need. Just give me your information, and I'll have him call you. So I called, and I said, all I need to do is find out what's my cue, and I'll do it. So that was 15 years ago. And since then, some wonderful things have happened to me, such as being asked to participate as the vocalist for the Honor Guard and also to perform with the chaplain's unit for many functions that we have throughout the year.
And the chaplain's sitting to your left, my right here, shaking his head yes.
Yes, and so it's an invitation for me to be on call, to be ready for that call that music is needed. And so that's been my life since I joined the force.
Did you get emotional as you were singing this?
Yes, I did.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
I really feel the emotion, and I think it projects. And it's just I'm happy to be alive, and I think it shows. And I have wonderful friends, have wonderful family members, and I'm just happy to be alive, and I think it projects itself naturally.
All right. Emily, what are you going to perform for us?
I'm going to be performing Yesu Bambino.
Say that again for us, please.
I'm going to be performing Yesu Bambino.
Okay. Whenever you are ready, ma'am.
King of love and light, the
beautiful.
Oh, that is absolutely beautiful. By the way, I was busy Facebook Living that, Dad, and you were a bit, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Dad. Dad, you're a little teary-eyed, aren't you, Dad?
Get him a tissue.
Yeah, really. You're proud, a proud dad.
Very much so. Chef.
So where does she get that from? Mom, clearly.
It's got to be Mom. Everyone out there can hear me, and it isn't me.
All right, we're going to break for news. You know what? I mean, I'm on the station all the time, and there's music on frequently, live music. I don't remember being so touched. I really don't. These two performers. Amazing. It is 10:32. I don't know if you could feel it, Roger Badish, but I'll tell you, lots of emotion down here.
Just I got goosebumps.
Just from singing Christmas music. I mean,
yeah, I got a beautiful voice.
And the way it was meant to be done, and singing lyrics that matter. It is, I apologize for being late.
It's okay. It was well worth it.
Well, I want to start off. First of all, thank you very much, Roger.
You're welcome.
You'll be back at 11 o'clock. And I want to start off, because sometimes I forget things, I want everyone in the studio's help. Put your hands together. Help me thank the engineer who's made all this possible, Aubrey Mumpower.
Thank you so much.
I didn't want to forget that. So we have amazing talent in the studio, and as it turns out, you brought a vocalist with you, and Arturo, you said, okay, I don't play. I need to bring a vocalist with me. It turns out that Mark Burnell and I have met before, and we can't figure out exactly where, I don't think, Mark, unless you have figured it out.
Well, it probably has to do with my wife, Ann, who's a vocalist, and I've played piano for her for about 25 years.
Ann Pringle was her name back 1,000 years ago when I covered entertainment with the Chicago Tribune, People Magazine, and others. And one place I used to go to frequently back in the day was a place called Yvette. Did Ann perform
there? Oh, yeah, she sang there.
She yeah,
the
yeah.
Waitress and
Frida Lee. That's Frida the performer.
Lee, yes.
Yeah. So Frida sang at our wedding. And she was one of those, again, back in that era. Won't tell you how many years ago that was, a chaplain.
Yes.
Am I allowed not to tell you things like that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Could I even lie to you about things like that?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you very much. but she, amazing talent, an amazing talent. And Jeff, Mark, I do remember you. And I am told you are going to perform now, too, which is like a gift. That's way cool. So let's go for it.
All right.
Maybe it's much too early in the game, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve, I wonder whose arms will hold you close and tight. Welcome in the new year, New Year's Eve. Maybe I'm crazy to suppose that I'd be the one that you chose out of 1,000 invitations. But in case I stand one little chance, here comes the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm. I feel humbled to have all these professionals. By the way, what are you doing the day before New Year's Eve?
I never thought you'd ask, Steve. Ann and I will be doing our 14th annual Eve of the Eve at Pegasus in Greektown. And we will have a bunch of guest artists. We'll have Frank Donaldson on drums. As a matter of fact, Arturo, you're going to be one of our singers. But Ann and I have been doing this, and many of our fans say it's our favorite gig of the year. And it's...
And what kind of music will it be?
Well, it'll be everything from jazz to blues to pop to Broadway, yep. Gospel. You name it, it'll be there.
Everything you guys do. That's great. Well, thank you. I'm humbled to have you. I mean, he said he was going to bring a pianist in. I had no idea it would be the quality of, I mean, really? So thank you very much.
A household name.
Yeah, pretty much in this household. Now, Arturo, go for it. We want to hear more Christmas music from you.
He's back. Frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way, he's filled his sleigh with things. For you and for me, it's the time of year when the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say, Merry Christmas, may your New Year dreams come true. And this song of mine in three wishes you and yours the same thing too. Marky Mark, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. You want more music? Just don't move, 720 WGN. So we have all these talented people in the studio, but I think the leader of the pack is Emily. Again, how old are you, Emily?
I'm 14 years old.
Quite incredible. I mean, where do you practice singing every day? Do you do this in school? Do you look into a mirror and say, la, 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 la? How do you do it?
Well, I practice frequently all my songs, and I do... perform in school. I even have my own little, well, our own little a cappella group at my school. And we sing for our Christmas concerts, and we sing at masses, and we sing in choirs and stuff, and it's just really fun.
Do you have a way to get into churches to sing? Do you know anybody who can help you? Perhaps? Like a certain chaplain?
Oh, yeah. Dad.
Like Dad?
Yeah. And I love busting her in front of the mirror when she's la lying.
Yeah.
Her school must be quite incredible, Dad.
It is. It is a real school.
Which school is it?
Well, she goes for her music lessons. She goes to the Music Institute of Chicago, where she studies under Barbara Ann Martin, is the voice chair of that of the school. Mm-hmm. Great person. Keep her in your prayers. She, about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, they lost their Zulu. Beautiful, wonderful dog, and she's still heartbroken.
Yeah, it could be a hard thing. I think we're hearing the meaning of Christmas.
Yes.
Actually. Yes. So I want to talk to you more about that, but we have performers to hear. Emily, whenever you are ready, we will follow your lead. Thank you so very much. Arturo, I'll let you run up there. Chaplain, while he sets up, if you have a wish aside from peace on earth, I mean something a bit more specific, not personal, I don't want to know those, but for us in Chicago, we need to come together. Do you have any direction for us?
Yes, this is Christmas. We await, and in preparation for Christmas is Advent, and we await the coming of Christ, bringing joy, love into our hearts. And this Christmas, many people do, but we ask more in Chicago to do so, to bring that love, joy into your hearts. Keep it there. Let it work on you, and then share it. And that's how the city will, again, be, as you say, not having bad...
We are one city.
Yeah.
And what you say, doesn't matter what religion you are, I don't think.
No,
doesn't matter which one of the 50 wards you live in.
Correct.
Doesn't matter if you're a man. Doesn't matter if you're a woman. Doesn't matter if you're old. And it doesn't matter if you're young.
Right. Once it's in your heart, then share it. And I think we'll turn this city around with that love and joy, which is Christmas.
Can we do it?
I believe we can.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. All right, Arturo.
I'm going to perform The Wonderful World of Christmas. And if I may, with your kind permission, suggest let's make it a wonderful Chicago. And I'd like to challenge any young man or young woman out there who wishes to be the change for our city, for our police department, to take the police exam. which is going to be taking place next year in April. And for more information, please visit www.chicagopolice.org. Be the change, be the man, be the woman to take the challenge and make this city great. It is already great, but let's make it greater for everyone. This song is The Wonderful World of Christmas.
Very good. The wonderful world of Christmas should remain every day in our hearts.
In our hearts.
Yeah. Once again, the lyrics outdid anything we could say.
Exactly.
These great lyricists. I don't know. I'll go around the room. Mark Burnell, thank you so very, very much. Mark Burnell, thank you.
Thank you.
Arturo Angiodice?
Andonegi.
That's what I said.
It gets better and better. Just like you said.
I don't believe I am getting any better at all. Thank you very, very much.
Mr. Earl Jackson.
And, pardon me?
My guest?
Your special guest, yes. Emily Montelongo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have an amazing future ahead of you. Chaplin, thank you so much for everything you do. And for the both of you, thank you. I know I am speaking for most of Chicago when we say thank you for the work you do every day. You put your life on the line for all of us. Thank you very much. We do need to be one city. We do need to be Chicago proud.